Welcome to another midweek lesson from Grace Christian Assembly. Open your Bible and join us as we dig into the Word. Now, here's our teacher, Jim McLarty.
I don't know if any of you paid attention to the news this week. To some degree, I try to ignore the news media, and of course, news cycles now are so fast because of the internet that a story pops up, and even if it's important, it seems to spin through the outlets, and then it's gone very quickly. But there was a story that kind of hovered the last couple of days that I had to pay attention to, and then as it evolved, as the story evolved, and new versions of the story came out, it became increasingly interesting. Fossil found, extraordinary find is missing link in human evolution. Did you read that? The missing link is found. I mean, what amazing news. The missing link has been found. That's the title on the Guardian newspaper in the UK, right on the front page. Extraordinary find is missing link in human evolution. Now listen to that language, because that's very specific language. Missing link in human evolution. What an important thing to discover if it's true. A missing link in human evolution, proving evolution to be true, so much so that the videos that were attached to the story included noted biologists and professors saying, when they approach us and say, the problem with your theory is the missing link, it's no longer missing. We have it now. Now, when you hear the term missing link, what link do you think of?
Between men and ape.
Between men and ape. You think chimp, human, show me that link. Some stage in between where they learn to walk upright and erect. Show me some link between chimp and human, and then you will have uncovered the genuinely missing link.
Is this a tooth that they found?
No, they found a full fossil.
Oh.
A full skeleton. Oh, this is very exciting news. A full, well-preserved fossil that is the missing link in human evolution. You know what it is? It's a lemur. Oh, but listen to how the press just exudes about this wonderful link. And then we're going to spend a couple moments looking at the original paper that was actually written by the scientists about what they actually found. Because it's really interesting when you listen to the difference between what the press says and what the actual research says. For instance, the UK article says Ida. That's the name of it. One of the most complete primate fossils ever found, a 47 million year old human ancestor.
Oh,
47 million year old human ancestor. Notice they've already made it a human ancestor. Yeah? Now you know that most folk are not going to read the details of the article. They're going to read those kind of headlines and go, well, there it is. Because people who want to prove the Bible wrong are just waiting for anything that even hints at evidence that the Bible is wrong. And as soon as you can throw out a term like 47 million year old, well, that's supposed to undermine the notion of a young earth or of 6,000 years of human history or even the world being created in 6 days. All of that gets thrown under the bus if there's actually something that is 47 million years old. By the way, there is absolutely no radiographic technique available that can tell us with any accuracy how old something is. Well, of course, the way that they came up with 47 million,
How
deep it was based on the strata of the earth, based on the assumptions of how long it takes for strata to build. Scientists have discovered an exquisitely preserved ancient primate fossil that they believe forms a crucial, quote, missing link between our own evolutionary branch of life and the rest of the animal kingdom. The 47 million year old primate, they're just going to keep throwing that in. The 47 million year old primate named Ida It's been hailed as the fossil equivalent of the Rosetta Stone for understanding the critical early stages of primate evolution. The top-level international research team, who have studied her in secret for the past 2 years, believe she is the most complete and best-preserved primate fossil ever uncovered. The skeleton is 95% complete, and thanks to the unique location where she died, it is possible to see individual hairs covering her body and even the makeup of her final meal, a last vegetarian snack. Now, what does that tell you about how she died?
Very quickly.
Cataclysmic death. And cataclysmic preservation, because there wasn't even time for her to lose her fur, which they found traces of, or the food that was in her stomach. She died quickly, cataclysmically, and then was buried in such a way that there was so much pressure that it preserved her whole and complete from whenever she died until now. Now, there's only one event out of all the geological events that take place on Earth. There's only one event that accomplishes that. It's called a flood. Only a flood can create a whole new strata that instantaneously traps animals, compresses them, and keeps them in a fossil-like state so complete that you could find the kind of detail they find here. You will see no mention anywhere in this article of a flood. Instead, they are going to postulate that she went to the lake and fell in.
Are they really? Hold on, Jim. They don't even say like a volcano might have come the mud.
Yes, they're going to talk about the volcanic activity in the area. But remember, we're talking about 47 million years ago. So it's very hard to say with any exactitude what took place on the weekend that she died.
The volcano in Italy only left hollow places of people and animals.
Right.
The animals.
Yeah.
Her body's worth there.
This little creature is going to show us our connection with the rest of all the mammals. The cows, the sheep, the elephants, the anteaters, said David Attenborough, who is narrating a BBC documentary on the find. The more you look at Ida, the more you can see, as it were, the primate in embryo. Now, they're doing a BBC documentary about Ida the lemur. And they're saying that she is a direct descendant. This is the point in evolution where lemur-type animals branched off into monkey-type animals. And then the assumption is from monkeys came men. And so that's why they're saying that we are a direct descendant from this missing link. You get the logic? Now, of course, unless you can prove that humans did evolve from monkeys, the fact that you see this apparently transitional character means nothing whatsoever, but this will be the one that is pictured in the textbooks for the next 100 years, said Dr. Jorn Hurum. Remember that name. The paleontologist from Oslo University's Natural History Museum who assembled the scientific team to study the fossil. It tells a part of our evolution that's been hidden so far. It's been hidden because the only other specimens are so incomplete and so broken, there's almost nothing to study. Hold it. Let's think about that quote for a moment. Because our children are being taught in school that evolution is a proven scientific fact.
It's science.
It is science. Proven science. Part of what several people are going to say in these articles is, thank goodness we found this, we finally have the proof. Which is tantamount to saying, up until now we've had no proof. Now granted, we've installed it in schools and imposed it on children and taught it as if it was a provable science, but listen to what Hjorn Hurum, paleontologist from Oslo University's Natural History Museum, listen to what he actually says. It's been hidden because the only other specimens we have are so incomplete and so broken, there's almost nothing to study. So everything up until this has proven nothing that they have used as their basis for claiming that this is a complete and a finished and a proven science. Now they're even undermining their own arguments. It's been shipped across the Atlantic for the unveiling ceremony hosted by the mayor of New York, Michael Bloomberg, today. It is formally named Darwinius Macellae to honor Darwin's 200th birthday year. That's why they held on to it until this moment, so that they could bring it out as they celebrate the 200th anniversary of Darwin. And then they could bring it out and say, and here's the proof, the missing link. And it will be the first non-living thing ever featured on the front cover of People magazine. Woohoo! Yeah. Yeah.
She's a people. Yeah. Even though she's a lemur.
She will be transported back to Oslo via a brief stop at the Natural History Museum in London on Tuesday, May 26, when Attenborough will host a press conference. Ida was originally discovered by, now follow this, Ida was originally discovered by an amateur fossil hunter in the summer of 1983.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on, she's been around since 1986
years. At the Messel Pit, a world-renowned fossil site near Darmstadt in Germany. He kept it under wraps for more than 20 years before deciding to sell it via a German fossil dealer called Thomas Perner. It was Perner who approached Hiram 2 years ago. Hiram said, "My heart started beating extremely fast. I knew that the dealer had a world sensation in his hands. I could not sleep for 2 nights. I was just thinking about how to get this to an official museum so that it could be described and published for science." Hiram would not reveal what the University Museum paid for the fossil, but the original asking price was $1 million. He did not see the fossil before buying it, just 3 photographs representing a huge gamble. But it appears to have paid off. "You need an icon or two in a museum to drag people in," said Hiram. "This is our Mona Lisa, and it will be our Mona Lisa for the next 100 years. Hiram chose Ida's nickname because the diminutive creature is at the equivalent stage of development as his 6-year-old daughter. Hiram said Ida is very excited about her namesake. And then he goes on, "It caught a lot of interest, blah, blah, blah. The fossil's amazing preservation means that the scientific team has managed to glean a huge amount of information from it, although this required new X-ray techniques that had not been previously applied to other specimens. Researchers believe that it comes from a time when the primate lineage that diversified into monkeys, apes, and ultimately humans, split from a separate group that went on to become lemurs and other less well-known species." So what we're talking about here is a lemur. But because it's a lemur with slight differences from what modern-day lemurs have, they say this is the moment where the lemurs and the monkeys split, and from monkeys to apes to Samuel. And because of that, this is a progenitor of human life. Notice how often they just throw in the assumption that this is just part of our ancestry. This is just how we evolved.
Kids teased her in school. Look who's laughing now.
Yeah, exactly. You know it. You know all those people who are arguing for Darwinism, and all the kids are in school who are saying, "Your Bibles are," they're all going, "Yeah, hey, there it is, your missing link." Because these articles have those big, "The missing link is discovered." Crucially, though, Ida is not on the lemur line because she lacks 2 key characteristics shared by lemurs: a grooming claw on her second toe, missing, and a fused set of teeth called a tooth comb. Also, a bone in her ankle called the talus is shaped like members of our branch of primates. So the researchers believe that she may be on our evolutionary line dating from just after the split with lemurs. You following this so far? Oh, you can hear the breathlessness in what they're writing. It's so exciting. According to the team's published description of the skeleton in the journal PLOS-1, which is the Public Library of Science, PLOS. According to the team's published description of the skeleton in the journal PLOS-1, Ida was a 53-centimeter long juvenile, about 6 to 9 months old. The team can be sure Ida was a girl because she does not have a penis bone. She was at this vulnerable age where you are no longer right with your mother, said Smith. Just as you leave weaning and you're not full grown, but you are on your own. Now remember that, she was on her own, poor thing.
Broke her nail too.
No, it turns out she broke her wrist.
Oh.
They're going to say, and because she had a broken wrist, she couldn't climb. And because she couldn't climb, she fell into the water. And because she fell into the water, she was buried in the silt underneath. And because she was buried in the silt underneath, she was perfectly preserved. And that's how we found her all this time later. Of course, then again, they're also going to say she was perfectly preserved because of the unbelievable pressure that preserved her instantaneously. I'm wondering if that didn't break her wrist. But that's another subject.
I suppose she was trying to get out.
It might be. Now, listen to these scientists just wax eloquent about this little creature. It might be that her mother dropped her once, or that she fell down from a tree earlier in her life, Smith said. She survived the accident, broke her wrist, but her climbing abilities would have been impaired. Unable to drink from water tapped by tree leaves, she would have had to go venture down by the lake to drink, and this would have proved to be a fatal decision. They got all this from something that occurred 47 million years ago by their own reckoning.
Hold on, I have a question. Did they say it was a heel broken wrist? Or her wrist?
No, apparently the bone itself is broken. Fractured. No.
Okay.
A huge range of magnificently preserved fossils at Messel suggests that the volcanic lake was a death trap. Scientists believe that it sporadically let forth giant belches of poisonous volcanic gases that would have immediately suffocated anything in, around, or even over the water. Ida would have fallen into the water and been preserved in the sediment deep at the bottom. When animals fall into a lake and sink to the bottom, what happens to them?
They get
eaten by fish and they corrode. They are not instantaneously preserved with their lunch still in their stomach. No, the only thing that does that, again, is a flood. Well, that was the story that came from the UK. Well, the Sky News went further. Oh, they were so excited. Sky News. Scientists unveil missing link in evolution. Hooray! Scientists have unveiled a 47 million year old fossilized skeleton of a monkey hailed as the missing link in human evolution.
Monkey?
Boy, isn't that exciting! The search for a direct connection between humans and the rest of the animal world has taken 200 years, but it was presented to the world today at a special news conference in New York. The discovery of a 95% complete lemur monkey, dubbed Ida, is described by experts as the eighth wonder of the world. Yes. Yeah.
If it was such a young monkey, chances are it hadn't reproduced, so it's not one of our animals.
What? Interesting. For the people on the internet who didn't hear that, Samuel saying, if this is in fact a link between two kinds of species, or even within a species, if it is some kind of link, it would have to reproduce in order to continue that lineage. And if it's that young, it couldn't have reproduced. Therefore, how could it have been a link?
Right.
Well done.
I guess the argument could be made that it was one of, there was a whole tribe of these lemurs.
Yeah, lemurs without a grooming claw.
Yes.
Exactly. Scientists say that its impact on the world of paleontology will be somewhat like an asteroid falling down to Earth, unquote. Researchers say proof, listen to how they're waxing on. They're so excited about this lemur. Researchers say proof of this transitional species finally confirms Charles Darwin's theory of evolution. There it is. We have it now. And the then radical, outlandish ideas that he came up with during his lifetime aboard the Beagle are now validated. Sir David Attenborough said Darwin, quote, would have been thrilled to have seen the fossil, and says it tells us who we are and where we came from. This little creature is going to show us our connection to the rest of the mammals, he said. This is the one that connects us directly with them. Now, people can say, okay, we're primates, show us the link. The link, they would have said up until now, is missing. Well, it's no longer missing. Now, remember, we're talking about a lemur here. That's all we're talking about is a lemur. And this is the missing link that proves Darwinism. When I was talking to my kids about this today, And so what you have to understand about evidence is that evidence can prove anything based on the person who's handling the evidence. Let me give you a prime example. Nicole's blood was found in OJ's car. That should have been some of the most damning evidence in the OJ Simpson trial. But do you all remember Johnny Cochran going up in front of the jury with an eyedropper and putting a drop of blood on the railing in front of the jury, and he said, "That's all the blood there was. That's all the blood there was this little drop of blood. That's all the blood they found in OJ's car." He took the fact that Nicole's blood was in OJ's car and turned it into part of his defense and kept repeating as he pointed at the one drop of blood, "If it doesn't fit,
you must acquit.
So he took the evidence that should have been the most condemning evidence and turned it into part of the defense, because evidence proves whatever the person presenting the evidence wants it to prove.
Even though he didn't have the slides that where they identified it as her.
Exactly right. I remember sitting and watching that, and at that moment I turned to the people I was watching the case with and I said to them, "How much blood do you have in your car?" "Because I don't have any blood in my car. Therefore, a drop of blood is a lot, considering we're talking about a woman who just got murdered."
"Well, she scratched but a mosquito bite."
"That's all it was, yeah." So my point is, these scientists have gotten a hold of this fossil, and they see in it all these things that you or I would look at and say, I don't see it. Where is all this stuff you're saying? But the evidence proves whatever the person handling the evidence wants it to prove. Well, so Sky News just waxes poetic here. "It's been transported to New York under high security and unveiled to the world during the bicentenary of Darwin's birth. Later this month, it'll be exhibited for one day at the Natural History Museum in London before returning to Oslo. Scientists say that Ida, squashed to the thickness of a beer mat by the immense passage of time, is the most complete primate fossil ever found." Think about that. If she was squashed to paper thin, or let's say beer mat thin, whatever that means, and they said that happened to her over time, if that happened over time, why is the food still there? And why is the fur still identifiable? Only cataclysmic squashing could keep her intact. If there were waves of water and movement of silt enough to bury her and then put pressure on her, all of that movement would have scattered the bones and certainly wouldn't have left the food intact in the skeleton. So again, they're just saying what they want it to say, what they want it to prove, but the logic doesn't follow. Then they tell you how it was unearthed, the same story that you heard earlier.
"We gotta go back and look for some of our brothers and sisters."
Exactly right. The fossil is really part of our history, our history. This is part of our evolution, deep, deep back into the aeons of time, 47 million years ago. Look at how they've all picked up that number and keep throwing it around. How do you prove 47 million years ago? And how do you know it wasn't 46? 48 and a half.
Counted the rings.
Well, it turns out that she was cleaned and set in a polyester resin and incredibly was hung on a mystery German collector's wall for 20 years. She'd just been hanging around. The link that proved Darwinism was just hanging in somebody's living room, apparently. And then, of course, the story that you heard about the fossil dealer who found it, who spent the money for it, and now it's on tour. He says he knew that it should be saved for science rather than end up hidden from the world in a wealthy private collector's vault, and they paid $1 million apparently for it. Professor Hurum, remember this name again, Professor Hurum, who last summer dug up the fossil remains of a 50-foot marine monster called Predator X from the permafrost in Norway, up by the North Pole, then assembled a dream team of experts who worked in secret on Ida for 2 years. They included paleontologist Dr. Jens Franzen, I'm hoping that's the correct way to pronounce his name, Dr. Holly Smith, that one I got right, of the University of Michigan, and Philip Gingrich, president-elect of the U.S. Paleontology Society. Researchers could prove the fossil was genuine through x-rays, knowing it is impossible to fake the inner structure of a bone. All that proves is this was at one time a real living animal. A real lemur. That's all it proves. Through radiometric dating of the Messel's volcanic rocks, understand this, not through radiometric dating of the fossil, but since it was found near a volcano, radiometric dating of the volcanic rocks led them to conclude that Ida lived 47 million years ago during the Eocene period. That's how they came to that conclusion, because they decided the rocks around her where she was found were really, really old. Therefore, she was also really, really old. This was when tropical forests stretched right to the poles. And South America was...
warming then?
That was global warming on a global scale. And South America was still drifting and had yet to make contact with North America. Let's think for a moment. Let's see. Where else have we ever heard that concept that at one time the whole Earth was tropical all the way to the top to the bottom? Oh, yeah, that would be when there was a canopy that covered the Earth before there was a rain. And then when the rain came, oh, yeah, there was a flood, the kind of flood that buries animals and produces fossils.
The fountains of the deep opened up.
Exactly.
Earth split.
During that period, the first whales, horses, bats, and monkeys emerged based on the assumptions of the theory of evolution. And the early primates branched into two groups. One group lived as mainly lemurs, and the second developed into monkeys, apes, and humans. That assumption again. The experts concluded that Ida was not simply a lemur, but a, quote, lemur monkey, displaying a mixture of both groups, and therefore putting her at the very branch of the human line. But as Sam pointed out, and it's worth pointing out again, if that's true, she would have had to continue that lineage. She would have had to continue producing offspring for that line to continue. But she died as apparently an infant. I guess they're just assuming there were others. Or she's just a mutant. Which is also possible, because you'll notice it's not that she picked up monkey traits, it's that she was missing some telltale lemur traits. Because in genetic codes, we nowhere find transitions within a species that add to the genetic code. The only thing science has ever been able to witness is loss in the genetic code that produces inferior versions of adaptation. For instance, you've never seen a horse grow wings, even though that would be a big plus. But you might see horses lose the length of their tail or the length of their mane. They may lose qualities like, say, a grooming claw.
Or the early horses, some of their skeletons, whether their ancestors or not, had three toes instead of one.
Yeah.
So they went downhill instead of uphill.
They went downhill instead of uphill. And that's a very, very important part of evolutionary theory that you have to understand. Nowhere has science ever seen additions to the genetic code. What you see repeatedly is lack of new genetic code that produces mutation downward, but you never see mutation upward. It's never been seen.
I had an anthropology teacher that said, based on fossil evidence, it was devolution rather than evolution.
Absolutely. That's true, but they won't, of course, tell you that in the textbooks. This little creature is going to show us our connection to the rest of the mammals. We keep hearing Sir David Attenborough say this. When Darwin published his On the Origin of Species in 1859, he said a lot about transitional species, said Professor Hiram. Remember that name, because I'm going somewhere. And he said that they would never be found, a transitional species, and his whole theory would be wrong. So he would be really happy to live today when we publish Ida. This fossil is really a part of our history. This is the part of our evolution deep, deep back in the eons of time. 47 million years ago, it's part of our evolution that's been hidden so far. It's been hidden because all the other specimens are so incomplete. They are so broken, there's almost nothing to study, and now this wonderful fossil appears, and it makes the story so much easier to tell, so it really is a dream come true. So what they see in this is a transition species. Now think again. Lemurs and monkeys, do you see anything similar about lemurs and monkeys? When you look at lemurs and monkeys, is there anything common about them? Like, I don't know, tails?
They have arms and legs and tails.
Arms, legs, tails, claws, heads, they look very much alike. There's a lot of similarity between them. There's nothing about this animal that looks like a monkey. All it looks like is a lemur. But because it doesn't have the tooth and the claw, and monkeys don't have that tooth and claw, they've drawn all of these conclusions, all these wonderful conclusions about how this is a missing link that proves that there is a transition from species to species. It's not species to species. It's lemur to lemur. In fact, the truth is, it's lemur to we have no idea what. It's just a lemur. The simple fact is, one fossil can't prove anything about evolution. All it can show you is that animal. It can't show you where that animal came from, and it can't show you what that animal became. It can only show you that animal. Now, if this were a lemur with a monkey head, now we'd be talking. And then this article in the Sky News ends with a quote from the Bishop of Worcester's wife, speaking to Charles Darwin, who apparently said, "Descended from apes? My dear, let us hope that is not true. But if it is, let us pray that it will not become generally known." Now, why would they quote that at the end of this article? To prove religious bias. Oh, right. To prove that religious people would never want Darwinistic proof to be unearthed. But it has. And so now this missing link has completely undermined Christianity, the Bible, everything. Now, the funny part is that at the end of the story, there were comments on the story. Not one person in the comment section said, "Oh, good." Every comment was sarcastic. Every comment said, "Oh, really? Come on." In fact, one person wrote, "This begs the question, what are we as humans going to evolve to? Will we grow wings and fly? Will we evolve into mutants like X-Men? Maybe those comic book authors have the same vision as Darwin, eh? We will evolve into a super race of beings. This missing link proves that we are still evolving. So what will we become?" All sarcasm. Evolution is as fallacious as philosophy. Scientists are just as bankrupt in their search for the truth as man was. If the facts don't match the theory, change the facts, said Einstein. Okay, then the Wall Street Journal got a little more level-headed about it. In what could prove, oh, well, see, right away, they're beginning to hedge their bets. In what could prove to be a landmark discovery, a leading paleontologist said scientists have dug up a 47-million-year-old fossil of an ancient primate whose features suggest that it could be the common ancestor of all later monkeys, apes, and humans. Anthropologists have long believed that humans evolved from some ancient ape-like ancestors. Some 50 million years ago, two ape-like groups walked the earth. One is known as the Tarsidae, a precursor to the tarsier, the tiny, large-eyed creatures that live in Asia. Another group is known as the Adapidae, a precursor to today's lemurs in Madagascar. Based on previously limited fossil evidence, one big debate had been whether the Tarsidae or the Adapidae group gave rise to monkeys, apes, and humans. That, of course, is assuming that there actually is a link between lemurs and monkeys. And the only reason they assume the link exists is because they look similar. The same way that apes and humans look similar. Therefore, yeah, Sally went kind of similar. But it's only because they see some similarities that say, well, that's where we must come from. You know, another big problem with Darwinistic theory is that Darwinism has yet to be able to identify for any species what its immediate precursor was. What was the exact species that this species came from. What was the species just before cow? Or what species did cows evolve from? Science has never been able to answer that question definitively because they don't know. What they know is there are cows and there are horses, and they assume there have to be links somewhere. This discovery brings a forgotten group into focus as a possible ancestor of higher primates, said a professor of paleontology at the University of Michigan. This discovery has little bearing on a separate paleontological debate centering on the identity of a common ancestor of chimps and humans. Now listen to what the Wall Street Journal just said. They correctly said, this has little bearing on the question of the missing link between chimps and humans. Right, it's a lemur. It has no bearing on producing a link between chimps and humans. But what did we just read in these headlines? Missing link discovered. And all people think when they hear missing link is the missing link that proves that we're descended from apes. That is the classic missing link. At least the Wall Street Journal was honest enough to say, this has nothing to do with that argument. Okay, let me wrap up here by saying, and this may be our whole night. We may just finish with this and...
Let's get back in the real world.
Yes, yes. This discovery has very little bearing on a separate paleontological debate concerning or centering on the identity of a common ancestor of chimps and humans, which could have lived about 6 million years ago and still hasn't been found. That gap in the evolution story is colloquially referred to as the missing link controversy. In reality, though, all gaps in the fossil record are technically missing links until filled in. And many scientists say the term is therefore meaningless. Well, thank goodness for the Wall Street Journal. So I read all this to kind of give you an idea, and then they go on and, you know, cover the same stuff. Although the creature looks like a lemur, there are two distinctive physical differences. Lemurs have a tooth comb, a tooth modified to help groom the fur, and a grooming claw, and a wet nose. Dr. Gingrich said that the adipid skeleton has neither a grooming claw nor a tooth comb, and we can't say whether or not it had a wet nose.
Yeah. Well, it must have, because it drowned, right?
I would say, yeah, if it's at the bottom of a lake, then certainly. Okay, now, I said all that to say this. Remember I kept mentioning this Jorn Hurum, the scientist, who's been repeatedly mentioned in all of these articles? He's the one who actually wrote the scientific paper that was written for the Public Library of Science. And you need to know what the peer-reviewed paper actually said, because I've shown you now what the press said. Oh, the press just waxed poetic. We found the missing link. Oh, hooray. Do you know that that's not what the original paper says? You got to do a little research. Because like Sam said, you know, the kids at school are just going to hold up the headline and say, there, in your face, the missing link is found. Your Bible is wrong. They're not going to go back and actually read the actual paper that was written or listen to the peer review comments. Jorn Hurum of the University of Oslo, the scientist who assembled the international team of researchers to study Ida, is relaxed about using the phrase missing link to describe Ida. He says, I think we could use that phrase for this kind of specimen, but people have a feeling that if something is important, then it is a missing link. So he's redefining the term. In the paper published for PLOS-1 from the Public Library of Science on the fossil, the author is more circumspect. Darwinius marcelli is important in being exceptionally well preserved and providing a much more complete understanding of the paleobiology of the Eocene primate than was available in the past, the author wrote. The species could represent a stem group from which later anthropoid primates evolved in a line leading to humans, but we are not advocating this here. That's what the paper says. The actual scientific paper says we're not going to go that far. The paper's scientific reviewers ask that they tone down the original claims that the fossil was on the human evolutionary line. One of those reviewers, Professor John Flegel of Stony Brook University in New York, said that would be a judgment for the scientific community. It will be sorted out or at least debated extensively in the coming years after the paper is published. So despite the treatment most media reports are giving Ida, the research team behind Ida was asking to remove their speculation from their peer-reviewed paper. Even so, The Guardian reported, there is even talk of Ida being the first non-living thing to be featured on the front cover of People magazine. And indeed, it seems that the pitch of Ida as a missing link is a full-out sensation by people who are bypassing the scientific community with a direct-to-the-public appeal on behalf of Darwinism. Meanwhile, the New York Times has reported, despite a television teaser campaign with the slogan, "This changes everything," and despite comparisons to the moon landing and the Kennedy assassination, the significance of this discovery may not actually be known for years. And an article to be published on Tuesday in the PLOS-1, a scientific journal, will report more prosaically that the scientists involved said the fossil could be a stem group and added the caveat, we are not advocating this point of view. So folks, we're going to get barraged with this over the next several weeks. They're right. It'll probably end up in textbooks. Kids are going to be shown this. Scientists are going to wax poetic. It's coming. It's going to be on TV.
It's giving 25 free trips to the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah.
To celebrate the 200th Darwin's 200th.
Oh, they're very excited about the whole 200 Darwin thing.
So there's plenty of publicity.
It's going to get a lot of publicity. I'm doubting that you're ever going to see, well, I read you all the popular media outlets and print outlets. When it runs, you've already heard some of the quotes from Richard Attenborough. This is a direct descendant to us. This shows us where we came from. That's the kind of hyperbole you're going to hear about this little baby lemur found in the stones who is actually proving a flood more than he's proving anything about evolution. A single fossil of any animal can't prove where he came from and can't prove what he became. All it can prove is that animal existed. And one lemur missing a piece does not prove anything unless you want it to prove something. If you are dead set determined to find a missing link, she's it. But if you look at it objectively, it supports what we believe. We believe that the reason there's commonality between some different species is because they were all created by one creator. The reason that there is a similarity between monkeys and men is because the God who made us similar in some ways because we were all made by the one creator. Let me finish off with this.
And to live on the same place.
And to live in the same place, in the same environment.
So yeah. You have to have some common characteristics.
Let me close with this. Was this entertaining? Did you enjoy this?
Yes.
Okay, give you something to chew on. This is from answersingenesis.org. I want to give them credit. So go to answersingenesis.org. They also wrote about this. Nothing about this fossil suggests that it is anything other than an extinct lemur-like creature. Its appearance is far from chimpanzee, let alone ape man or human. Now, I have the picture here. You probably can't see it from there, but I'll pass it around so you can see it. Does that look like your grandma? Does that look anything like a human?
I give them credit. At least they had a whole skeleton. Usually they make that kind of...
I know. Usually they have a tooth, yeah. A shin bone. So. Number two, a fossil can never show evolution. Fossils are unchanging records of dead organisms. Evolution is an alleged process of change in live organisms. Fossils show evolution only if one presupposes evolution, then uses that presupposed belief to interpret the fossil. Number three, similarities can never show evolution. If two organisms have similar structures, the only thing it proves is that the two have similar structures. One must presuppose evolution to say that the similarities are due to evolution rather than design. Furthermore, when it comes to transitional forms, the slightest similarities often receive great attention while the major differences are ignored. For instance, little Ida looks nothing like a monkey, but because she has one little difference from modern lemurs, they leap to, well, there you go. There, she's clearly a transitional form. Number four, the remarkable preservation is a hallmark of rapid burial. Team member Jorn Hurum of the University of Oslo said, this fossil is so complete, everything is there. It's unheard of in the primate record at all. Why would it be unheard of in the primate record at all? It would be because the typical processes of time have destroyed that record. So if you find one that is perfectly preserved, something cataclysmic happened. Something not normal and natural in the process of time occurred. Even the contents of Ida's stomach were preserved. While the researchers believe Ida sunk to the bottom of the lake and was buried, this preservation is more consistent with a catastrophic flood. Yet Ida was found with hundreds of well-preserved specimens. Well, what does that tell you? They all at one time were compressed and found there.
A lot of broken wrists.
A lot of broken wrists. Lots of animals falling into the lake. A lot of just dumb animals. Don't go near the lake! Too late. You know.
A big party, they all jumped in the water and lightning struck them.
And there they were.
I think they said that a gas from the volcano like suffocated them.
And by the way, if you have an eruption of a volcano near a body of water, what does that do to the body of water? It steams it up, it stirs it up, it moves it. It does not preserve creatures and skeletons. The only thing that can preserve that many creatures or even one creature that completely is a cataclysmic crushing of it to hold it in place. If there's any movement in the silt, in the ground, in the water, it destroys the skeleton.
But there was only one Ida found.
There was only one Ida found, yes. Even though they found lots of animals in the area.
And the others were just plain animals.
And the others were other animals, yeah. 45, 47 million years ago. Number five, if evolution were true, there would be real transitional forms. Instead, the best missing links evolutionists can come up with are strikingly similar to the organisms we see today. I mean, that's why they can identify her as a lemur. She's 47 million years old, supposedly, and she looks just like a lemur. What does that tell you about the evolution of lemurs? They still look exactly like they looked 47 million years ago. Where's the evolution? If evolution were true, there would be real transitional forms. Instead, the best missing links evolutionists can come up with are strikingly similar to organisms we see today, usually with the exception of minor, controversial, or inferred anatomical differences, like the missing claw. Evolutionists only open up about the lack of fossil missing links once a new one is found. That's an important point. I mentioned it an hour ago. That they kept saying, oh, finally we have this. Finally we have evidence. And they've been teaching it in schools and forcing it on kids and saying this is provable science, when now they're saying, well, now that we have Ida, now we have evidence. Which means they didn't have any evidence up till then. Which is why they're so excited about this Ida thing and want to force all their hopes and dreams into this little fossil. Because if they can just make this little fossil say what they want it to say, they will finally have the one thing that evolution has always been lacking, which is evidence. Now, science is supposed to be a process of experimentation in order to discover repeatable, observable results, right? I learned that in biology and chemistry in high school. Science requires repeatable, observable results. If it's not repeatable, then it's just an aberration. If it's not observable, then you have no way of knowing it. Repeatable, observable results are required in order for science theory to become science fact. And the one thing evolution as a science doesn't have is repeatable, observable evidence. So they're very excited to try to push all of this information into this little fossil in the hope that they can say, well, here's our evidence. We have something that's evidentiary here. Evolutionists only open up about the lack of fossil missing links once a new one is found. Sky News reported, researchers say proof of this transitional species finally confirms Charles Darwin's theory of evolution, while Attenborough commented that the missing link is no longer missing. So they are admitting that the evidence was missing until now. And yet, it's in all the schools, it's called science, and it's being forced on our kids. And we're not allowed to talk about creation because Darwinism is science. But it has no evidence. And they admit it has no evidence as soon as they find something they think might be evidence. They go, oh, now we have evidence. There we go. Well, so you didn't have evidence up till now? How is that science? So it is clear what Ida is not. As for our conclusion on what Ida is, we wrote in News to Note, because the fossil is similar to a modern lemur, that's one part of it that I just find fascinating. If it's 47 million years old and we can still identify it as a lemur,
that's pretty amazing. Lemurs haven't changed at all.
Then lemurs have not changed at all.
Compared to like a mammoth to an elephant, I mean, at least you could say, look at how long their hair was.
Saber-toothed tiger to modern tigers.
Right.
I mean, gee, there were a lot of changes just in pretty recent history.
Right.
In 47 million years, lemurs haven't changed at all.
Then maybe a hooky hand.
Maybe a little thing to comb their hair with?
Yeah.
And by the way, unless we have a whole lot of other lemur fossils to compare Ida to, how do we know that 47 million years ago they all had a grooming tooth and a grooming claw? Why aren't they arguing this proves evolution? Because modern lemurs have that and the old ones didn't. Therefore, it evolved into this. No, they're just assuming, well, it's a lemur, and therefore it had to have had these things. This one doesn't have it. That proves it was in transition. Of course, it doesn't prove that it was transitioning into another species. All it proves is they found a lemur who doesn't have a couple of characteristics of modern lemurs. And since it's supposedly 47 million years, I can understand why there might be a minor difference. Anyway, because the fossil is similar to a modern lemur, a small, tailed, tree-climbing primate, it's unlikely that creationists need any interpretation of the missing link other than that it was a small, tailed, probably tree-climbing, now extinct primate from a kind created on day 6 of the creation week. Much of the excitement over Ida appears to stem from a well-coordinated public relations effort to promote an upcoming documentary and a new book titled The Link. The documentary will air on the History Channel in the U.S. as The Link on May 25th, so make sure to set your TiVo. It will air on the BBC, on BBC One in the U.K. It'll be called Uncovering Our Earliest Ancestor, The Link. Filmmaker Atlantic Productions even launched a website to promote the discovery called revealingthelink.com. So go there and look at it and see if it looks like any predecessor you know. Yet, as Hiram commented, this fossil will probably be pictured in all the textbooks for the next 100 years. So while the media rush may at first be a bid to promote the documentary and the book, the ultimate result is one more trumped-up missing link presented to future generations as evidence of evolution. And the peer-reviewed scientific paper said, we got to be careful we don't say that. Oh, but the media loves it. It'll sell advertising time. It'll sell magazines. It's going to move the book. And people who bought things like the Da Vinci Code, that same audience will flock to buy the Link book. And they'll put it on their shelf. And whenever a Christian friend comes over, they'll yank out the Da Vinci Code and see, the church is corrupt. And they hid parts of the Bible in order that you wouldn't know the truth. And Jesus was married to Mary. And they had a baby. And that proves that Jesus was never crucified. And on top of that, look, this book has the missing link. And since the missing link exists, and we know now that lemurs became monkeys 47 million years ago, and that's how you got here, because we have the evidence, your Bible is wrong. And you Christians, you're just a bunch of fools. So you got to know. You got to know your stuff. You got to know what the evidence really is and what the evidence really says. And you got to be able to separate truth from fiction, because so far in the 200-year history of Darwinism, if it's ever truly examined, it's fiction. So far, the one thing it doesn't have is evidence. And that's why they're so excited about this little lemur. They think maybe they have evidence. So what does that tell you about Darwinism as a whole? It's scientifically bankrupt.
Right. I understand now that the larger percentage of paleontologists don't subscribe to the Darwinian theory.
No, because it doesn't.
And they're grappling.
Right, they are grappling with it because there are so many problems with the notion that evolution is the need to survive and the need to procreate, survival of the fit. That whole concept doesn't explain things like why creatures that couldn't see and hear would decide that seeing and hearing was a good thing to have. And then over the course of millions of years of not being able to see or hear, they knew somehow, instinctively, that sight existed and that hearing would be helpful. And so they eventually developed, through millions of years of evolution, the ability to see and hear. And yet, what we know for sure from science is, if you had a very early eyeball, a very primitive eyeball, it would not produce primitive sight. Only a complete, fully developed eyeball produces actual sight. And the eyeball is amazingly complex with many different parts and pieces that have to all be working at the same time in order for you to get sight. Which would mean that as animals were developing primitive eyeballs that didn't work, rather than dispose of them, they continued making them, somehow believing that someday some future generation of animals would be able to see, even though the concept of sight was beyond their grasp. You understand me?
Kidneys functional.
Any of those things.
Yeah.
Any major organ in the body that had to develop in a complex way over time assumes that the primitive animals understood the benefit of that organ and then somehow developed it because it was going to help in survival, help in hunting, help in procreation, help in being fit so that you would survive. But how did these primitive single cell to complex cell animals decide that a greater thinking capacity would be helpful if they didn't have the ability to think to start with? I mean, there are so many problems with the notion of evolution that evolution simply cannot explain the complexity of living creatures and beings. So I'm not the first to say that, and I certainly won't be the last, but we as Christians will always have that uphill battle of arguing against a world that doesn't believe in God because it can't believe in God. Therefore, it has to try to undermine God and suppress the truth and hold it down in unrighteousness.
What do they say in a court of law, or like O.J.'s trial, all they had to do is raise a what?
Raise a doubt. All you have to do is raise a doubt.
And so they don't have much trouble with
right.
that.
And so if you already don't believe in God, and if you already want to say that Christianity is wrong and the Bible is fallacious, then Ida gives you something you can doubt. You say, well, there it is. There, scientists said, and scientists wouldn't lie. Of course, these are the same scientists who have been telling you that Darwinism was true when they didn't have any evidence. But they wouldn't lie.
There's a tray of three pictures that I understand is supposed to be the most outstanding. For years, it has been in all the textbooks, but now it's been completely But they're still putting that pictures in.
Yeah. That's one thing that's really quite amazing about the science of Darwinism, too, is that every couple of years, it changes. The story changes. And they say, okay, now this time it's right. This time it's true. And then the story changes. Okay, now we've got it. And then the story changes. Compared to great eternal truths that the Bible contains that have been around for thousands of years and stood the test of time, things like Darwinism change constantly.
Okay, so you have a single-cell, asexual organism that somehow not only develops into a sexual organism, but develops into two sexual
Yeah. So into male and female.
And female, yeah. And they have to evolve exactly the same rate so that eventually they get together and all this time they're reproducing. Yeah.
Then they started out by being able to just split and split and split and recreate and recreate. Why did there have to be two sexes in order to procreate again? Yeah, there are so many holes in evolutionary theory.
Well, you know, you don't ever hear anybody talking about if we all started from a one-celled animal or one-celled creature, where's the link between plants and animals?
Right. And if we all started from one-celled being, why such diversity? Why didn't we just become one successful creature and just keep becoming that creature over and over?
Become one thing, and some of those cells become something else. Now, some of those lemurs are still lemurs, but now some of us are human.
Exactly.
Some of them remain the same, and some of them change.
Because some monkeys just decided to stay monkeys. And you know, I'm with that.
Yeah, I see that.
I completely relate.
Always trust the media.
Always trust the media, because they wouldn't lie to you. They're telling you the truth.
That the media is less accurate than Wikipedia, because this sociology major in Ireland posted a fake quote on this guy's this composer's Wikipedia page right after he died. You know, Wikipedia caught it 2 hours later, but in that 2 hour time frame, several major news sources
quoted it.
Well, here's what I know. If I have to choose between evolution or the Bible, so far the Bible has a whole lot more actual evidence.
Well, that doesn't even make sense even if there wasn't a Bible.
I agree. All right, gotta let you go.
Thank you for joining us for this week's lesson. If you would like more information about Grace Christian Assembly or the teaching of God's sovereign grace, please visit us on the World Wide Web at salvationbygrace.org.